y'all turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The subject of my message tonight is eternal peace. Now, there's something I want to know something about. Eternal peace. I've been thinking about this message for an awful long time, well before Marvin ever talked to me about him preaching in West Virginia and wanting me to take over this service. Has been on my heart for an awful long time. And I hope that the Lord will bless me to allow me to say something. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for this time to be together. Lord, I ask if it be Your will that it might be profitable, not only to myself, but to the people here. Lord, open our hearts and our ears and let us understand, Lord, through knowledge is only through Thee. Lord, grace us with Their presence. Let the Spirit be present so we might understand. We ask You to be with us, guide us, and strengthen us. Allow us to go from this place honoring and glorifying Thy name. And keep us and guide us, Lord. And have mercy on us, for we need it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 14th chapter of John, verse 6. As I said, the subject of my message is eternal peace. And this one verse, to me, speaks of eternal peace. Simply says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Now, I hope that title got your attention, Eternal Peace. I hope that's something that you want to know something about. Because if you want to know something about it, that verse right there tells you where you can get it. There's only one way. And that verse says, Jesus said, I am the way. There is only one way to come to eternal peace. And that's through Christ Jesus. Now, there's many ways being set forth by many religions, many people. But there is only one way. And it was set forth by God before this world ever began. And it was through His Son to make a propitiation for the elect. That is the only way. And He is the way. Christ is the way. John 6, verse 65, you don't have to turn there. It says, And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man came unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. The Lord provides, the Lord Almighty provided the way. We get caught up in this world. We get caught up in our own personal feelings and emotions, feeling that we want to do something in order to make ourselves presentable to an Almighty, holy and reverend God. The gospel clearly states that we don't need to do that. What is required has already been provided. His Son came to glory His Father, to honor and glorify His Father, and in that provided the way. So we all need to quit trying to do anything else except turn and lean wholly on Christ. And that is the way. Nothing more, nothing less. You don't need anything more than Christ. You say, well, I like to do this. I like to do this. I want to do some good works. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I want that. I'm a good person. I want to do something for Christ. Well, you don't need to do anything for Christ. He's already done everything for us. It's not about us doing anything for Christ. It's about Him doing everything for His Father And in that, we receive a free gift. That's the way. But you got to take off those pride, those glasses you have on that look through everything with rose-colored glasses. Well, I'm not as bad as that man. I'm not as bad as that person. I don't do that. Big saying in some of the churches, I forget which affiliation it is, he used to say, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, and I don't hang around with those who do. That was a big slogan. Now, what does that have to do with salvation? Read the Bible. What on earth does that have to do with salvation? It's all about Christ. He is the way, the only way. Nothing is required on our part. Well, it's hard for us to not want to do anything. We're people that want to do something. Most people don't like to just sit around. They get antsy. They get anxious. They want to do something all the time. In the same way it is with salvation, we want to do something. We want to be able to do something. We can do anything. It's not in our nature to do anything other than sin. But we want to do something to try to gain merit and favor from our Lord. And it's not wrong to want to merit favor of your Lord, but the best way and the only way to do that is just enter in and believe what He says about Himself in His gospel. And it says, you can't do anything. So quit trying. Quit trying. I tell myself all the time, quit trying to do anything for God. He's done everything for you if you're in Him. If He has chosen you to be one of the elect, you don't have to do a thing other than believe Him. You know, you can't even do that by yourself. He provides it. He provides a perfect righteousness to us through the works of His Son. Now that's peace. Knowing that you don't have to do anything. Knowing that your sinful nature doesn't have to provide anything. Because the more you look at yourself, the more you look in the mirror and see yourself for who you truly are, you're saying, I can't enter in. And once you know that, and if you truly do know that, the Lord's done something for you. When you know that I can't do a thing. Not a single solitary thing. And then the Lord graces you with faith to know that I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. It's been done. It's been done perfectly. Why am I trying to add something to what? You can't add to something that's perfect. I mean, what can you add to something that's perfect? You can't make something better that's already the best. He provided His best. He provided His Son, who was Him. The same as He is. Omnipotent, omnipresent. He offered His Son for us. Why do we keep trying to do something? The answer to that is because of our sinful nature. That old man is still present. We want to work. We want to do something. Let's choose Jesus. Well, you can't choose Jesus. It's already been taken care of. And if you had the opportunity to choose Him, you wouldn't. Nothing will be accepted but this way. That's the only thing that will be accepted. Anything else you try to bring to the table will not be accepted. Nothing. Nothing. Your works, your baptism, your profession of faith, you're reading the Bible, me standing up here saying these words, not a thing can be added to the table. Nothing. It's perfect. And then there's other ways. Many people want to let you believe that, well, you've got to accept Jesus. He wants to save you, but you've got to take the first step. The only steps a man's going to take toward anything is toward hell. That's it. That's the truth. All other ways are paths to destruction. Everything we try to do in and of ourselves is leading away from Christ. We're not trying to get to Christ by nature. We're not trying to get to Christ. We're not going to go toward Christ. We're going away from Him. Just as our sins, if we're one of the elect, are going far as east is from the west, the north is from the south, that's the way we would be by nature. If He leads us to ourselves, we'll go as far away as we can. Because we can't enter in and say, Lord, You have the right to do whatever You will with me. And that's what we are by nature. That's how we feel. But the peace is,
We don't have to do a thing. We don't have to do a thing. We have to believe, and that's provided for us. Matthew 7:13-14, if you all want to turn there, you can. It's a very clear passage of Scripture that talks about the two ways. There's only really two ways. There's many ways that are part of the wrong way, but it's still the wrong way is path of destruction. There's a path unto the Lord, and there's a path unto destruction. That's really the only two ways. In Matthew 7:13-14, says, "Enter ye in at a gate, at a straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And the reason there are few there to be that find it is you can't find it in and of yourselves. The rest of these people, that first verse is talking about people looking, what I was just talking about. They're looking unto themselves to try to provide something unto God. I read in Malachi where it talks about offering a polluted sacrifice. That's what you're doing. You're offering a polluted sacrifice to a perfect God. It's not accepted. But He will accept something that is perfect, and that's His Son. And by nature, we search for any way except His. Any way. Well, by His grace, if any of us believe, we do. By His grace. But if we're not graced by Him, we'll believe anything. We'll believe anything. I heard a guy on the radio last Sunday come to church and said that he got $1,000. He sold something. He had $1,000. And he was all pricing, "Boy, I'm going to be able to buy this and this and this and this." And he said, "I don't have much and I got this money, but the Lord spoke to me. And I gave this money. And I gave it to this. And I gave it to this church. And I gave it to this church." Stuff like that. And he said, "Boy, in a couple months, boy, I had $5,000. Be careful what you want. The false ways of this world, you may get money. You may get earthly profit. But that's not eternal peace. Having a nice house and being able to buy anything you want, being able to have the nicest cars and having a job where you make six figures and all this stuff like that, that's all well and good. But it says, the Lord says, you have your reward. You're worshiping the things of this world, not the Lord Almighty." And many people get that and think, well, the Lord's blessing me. That's a curse. That's a curse. Because the more He gives you, the more you think, "Boy, I'm doing just fine." And you don't look to God. You look to yourself. Look how successful I am. You ever hear a rich person talk about God? Say, "Oh, thank the Lord for all my money." No, they're saying, "Boy, I did this. Boy, I made a smart move to make this money. I did that so I can afford this. You see all I have? I. By grace, those who are made to know Him, it's like, "Oh, my Lord and Savior." You attribute everything to Him. Anything you have, you want to attribute to Him. Now, we don't always do it. But if you talk to a believer long enough, and you talk to them for long enough, anything they have to say is by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. And also, if you're around a believer long enough, you find out he or she's been through trials. He may have had a lot, or she may have had a lot, and all of a sudden it's taken away. You find out how faithful a person is when they've had a lot and they have it taken away, and see if they stick to being faithful. Just read Job and you'll see that was a faithful man. I don't know that I have the faith to be able to go through that, but by God's grace, if I went through that, He would give it to me. Because He promises you He will. Now, the second part of that was He's the truth. As there was only one way, there's only one truth. It all goes hand in hand. And the reason is, the way, the truth, and the life are all one person, is Christ. They have the same character. There's only one truth, and the truth is only found in the Word of this gospel, which is Christ. He said the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is all about Christ, and it is the truth. All the things of this Bible are the truth. And anybody who tries to diverge from that, it's a lie. There's no gray area when it comes to the gospel. There's really no gray area in life in general, but we like to have our gray areas. It makes us feel comfortable at night. It makes us feel real comfortable with the world we live in. We just say, but with God, there's only right and wrong. And this gospel is the truth. And there's only one truth. In John 8:14, you can turn there. There's an awful lot of good scripture in the Bible that I've yet to even understand. But this is a very good one. Saw some things in it I'd never seen before. And that shouldn't be amazing to anybody, but it just, the more you read and the Lord will reveal things to you, and I think it's just such a blessing. In verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." Now you see what it says there? It says, "I judge no man." That's Christ. Judgment is reserved to God Almighty. Christ doesn't judge anybody. He is just salvation for a select people. God Almighty judges. He didn't judge it. Now look in this next verse. It says, "And yet if I judge..." He said, "I have the right to judge if I wanted to. My judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." What he's saying is, I'm omnipotent. I'm as my Father. I know all things. He knows what he's going to... He knows who the elect are. But he was never here to judge a man. Boy or girl, woman, anybody. His Father reserves the right to judge. In 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Now, I've looked at that many times, but it's funny how the Lord always provided. The Jews and religious people of this day always want to throw a stumbling block at somebody. Well, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? Jesus said, "I can speak alone because when I speak, I'm speaking to two people. My Father and I are speaking the same. We're on the same accord. We're speaking alike. When I speak, my Father speaks because I'm doing the will of my Father. I'm only doing what my Father let me do," and that's the truth. And all that he said in this gospel, and all that he allowed the prophets to understand, and all the parables that he explained to those men, his disciples, and all that he revealed to David, and all of them, was by grace, he let them know what the truth was so we could have this book. That through history, that history would be put in this Bible by divine revelation so that we, in this day and age, would know the truth. How would we not know it unless it was written down? A lot of this stuff took place and they didn't even have before the prophet stuff, they didn't even have a written language. A lot of that stuff was passed forth by voice. They spread around, they told a story, and they told it to somebody else before they ever wrote it down. Some of those books of the Old Testament there was no true written language of tablets and stuff like that. But it carried on through by the grace of God that we might know it. It's amazing what the Lord has done for a people that despise and reject them all the time. We despise and reject them all the time, and yet He provided this book for us. He provided the truth in His gospel. And it is amazing to me what He has done for someone that this really doesn't give Him the honor and respect that He deserves. I don't give Him the honor and respect He deserves. And if you're all honest, you don't either. But He still, He's loving, kind, long-suffering, and He provided this book so we might know the truth, the only truth. And everything else, everything anybody calls a so-called truth other than what's in this Bible is a lie. When you leave out verses, take away from the Scripture, take it out of context, make it fit common things that we do today. They say, well, this doesn't, some people say, this Bible, it was written back then. It's different today. It's no different. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. This truth is the same as it was when it was written, when God was here, before Adam, before the world ever began, before it was ever created. The Lord presented what was right and wrong, and it's always right and wrong. And this is the truth. We must be made to love His Word, His truth. Because without Christ, without the revelation of the Spirit, we'll not love this. You come here every night that you all come, and every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday, all the conferences people go to and whatnot, and you hear the same thing preached over and over and over. And yet, those that have been granted faith and know this love it. Every time they hear it, they can't hear it enough. Because the Lord graces to make it new every time it enters into your heart. I pray when I come to church, I say, Lord, just let me not just sit back there and not enter in. Because when the Lord allows me to enter in, boy, I have such peace and rest. And I come here sometimes and I sit there and I go home not comforted. Because my heart was not prepared. Because I can't prepare it, but the Lord didn't enter in that day. Not for me. Someone else might have heard a real good sermon, but I didn't. So just be careful. Let's always pray that the Lord will enter into us so we might know what's being preached. There's many times I come and I don't. And then anybody here, you'll admit the same thing. If you're honest, you'll admit the same thing. There's times you come, you get half hour down the road, you can't remember what's preached. Isn't that a shame? The truth is being preached by men and women, not women, excuse me for that, by men. In these pulpits, and a half hour goes by sometimes and we can't remember what they preached. That's sad. Our eternal peace and hope is all in this gospel and we don't remember what had been preached. I've had people ask, well, what was preached today? It's a shame you have to sit down and think about it. It's a shame. We all do it. Matthew 19:16, you don't have to turn there. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter in life, keep the commandments. We can't keep the commandments. But you have to keep one commandment. That's believe God. I'd already talked about that. He allows a certain people, a peculiar people, an elect people, to enter in and to believe it. And the only commandment you have to keep is you have to believe God. Without Him, we all shall perish. If we don't know this truth, the only truth, we'll perish. And the last thing, He is the life. Matthew 11:25 says, At this time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it so seemed good in thy sight. Those first two verses tells all about predestination and election. He chose to hide it from some people. Anybody in this room, if there is, that believes there's not predestination, you're calling God a liar, because right there it says, because it seemed good in thy sight to hide it from these people. Has nothing to do with a man's or woman's choice. It's God's choice. Verse 27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Say anything about a human having any kind of participation in that? Nope. 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. This is where the peace starts coming in. And I will give you rest. The bad thing is, we'll search. We'll try to find those other ways that I was talking about. We'll try to find those other truths. We'll struggle how many years of our lives looking for something that will not give us any rest. And finally, by the grace of God for the elect, He will bring you down into the dust and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I have nothing to give to you. Have mercy on my damned soul. And when you do, that's when He gives you rest. Lord, I don't have anything to give. I feel so bad. I've been humbled so much. I can't even... It said from a lips is the poison of asps. Now, asps are some of the most, from what I've heard from people that know much more about this than I do, I forget what snake it is, but it's one of the most poisonous snakes in the world, what they were talking about. And the words coming from our mouths are like the poison of asps. And that's why when we pray, we pray unto Christ, because then He talks to the Father and says, Lord, have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. We ask for mercy, but it's only if Christ asks for mercy in our stead and place we get any mercy. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. And that yoke he's talking about, you come and hear the gospel, and you enter in this place, you feel comfort and you feel joy. You feel some peace when you hear the gospel proclaimed clearly and plainly. You step outside. And that yoke you're having is that no one outside these confines that go to a church that preaches this gospel, this only gospel, the truth, they chastise you for what you believe. But that yoke's easy because the Lord's going to provide you. Every pitfall you get into, if you are steadfast in the gospel, the Lord will bring you back up. You will go down. There'll be times you'll fall down on your face, but the Lord promised, I'll never put more on you than you can bear, and I will lift you up. And there's a key thing there. He reaches down and lifts us up. We don't pull ourselves up. You don't pull yourselves up by your belt buckles and pull yourself up. You can't do it. The Lord comes down and says, I'll enter into where you're at, and I'll pull you up. I'll bring you through this. I'll grant you faith. By grace, I'll grant you faith. And our faith is so minuscule. But when we're going through a heavy burden or trial for Christ's sake, He grants you that much more faith. The harder the problem gets, you get that much more faith. Jessica and I were talking on here when we were coming when Linda died. 4 days before she died, she came to church. She came to church. You never heard that lady complain? she was happy to go. And that's because as she suffered more, the Lord gave her more faith. When my dad was dying, always said that it was the truth. Always said that Scott Richmond, yeah, what he's saying is the truth. But he never entered into it. And the Lord took everything away from him, took him down to nothing. And finally he said, Lord, have mercy. Have your way with me, Lord. Do with me as you please. I am through fighting. I have nothing else to fight for. You have spent me of everything I have. Lord, have mercy. You are Lord. And at that time, he gained peace. He had a countenance I had never seen in my life. I saw my dad sweeter than I had ever seen him. My dad could be not so sweet. My dad could be a real stern, hard man. He hardly got mad. We moved him in bed one night, and I didn't realize this. Couldn't move, couldn't do anything. We moved him in bed, and I found out after he died, we broke three of his ribs. He didn't utter a word. He gritted his teeth and said, it's all right, I love you. It's going to be all right. The Lord has something better for me. That's the kind of faith you get. That's the kind of life you get. That's the kind of life you live through Christ. Every time you have a hard time, every time you have any difficulty, and you still stay steadfast in the gospel, the Lord lifts you up. The Lord will keep letting you go down as long as you turn to something else. And He'll never let you go too far. If you're one of His, He'll let you stray. He doesn't spare the rod. And the reason He doesn't spare the rod is because it makes you want Him. It makes you love Him even more. Because when He brings you out of it, you say, oh, how foolish have I been? How foolish have I been trying to help myself out of a situation when the Lord said, I provided it all. My yoke is easy. Just, as it says, take the yoke upon me and learn of me. Come, learn. Learn more about me. Read more about me. The more you read, the more I'll reveal. The more you study, the more I'll reveal. The more you go to church, the more you hear from a preacher, the more I'll reveal. But there'll be times He won't reveal anything to you as well. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And boy, that's what we need to be. If we could just be meek and lowly. People ridiculed Him while He was here. People didn't think, they had a very high opinion of themselves, a very low opinion of Christ. Still do today. He's meek and lowly. He didn't do a thing to make anybody angry except to tell the truth. They despise the truth because a man look at themselves and say, well, that makes me feel bad. That means I can't do anything. He was the only perfect man that ever lived on this earth. He wasn't disobedient to his parents. Someone asked me, well, how do you know that? I said, because he was God. He was as much God as he's never man. This was the best child a man or woman could ever raise. They didn't have to raise him. He was self-raised. When he went to the synagogue, They went to the synagogue in Jerusalem. I'm not sure, was that for Passover? Was it, you know, Clay? When he went to the synagogue? I can't remember. But he went to the synagogue and they were going back home and he wasn't there. They looked and they searched everything and they were worried about him. They went back to Jerusalem and they were getting ready to chastise him. They were mad. They were upset. I mean, that was their son. They loved him. As any man or woman will love their child. They went back, and he said, he wasn't very old, and he said, well, what have you done this? I mean, I could just see him try to start him. Before they ever said a word, he said, wouldn't you want me to be about my father's business? He was being faithful to his father, his true father. He never disobeyed his parents. He never disobeyed his parents when he was growing up, stuff like that. He knew more than his parents. And that time when it was coming, it was like, I need to be about my father's business. It's time. I'm cutting the strings. I'm gone now. I got to go about my ministry on this earth. And they knew, and I'm sure, boy, I bet you their countenance fell there for a while saying, how unfaithful we are. We lived, grew up with this young boy as he was becoming a man, and they began to forget that that was the Messiah. They began to forget. They took it for granted. It's like the disciples. When Peter denied him thrice, look at people who spent how many years with him? And they denied. You know, he denied him three times, and they all did. Not just one of them. They all did it certain times. And when he was being crucified, oh, I didn't, you know, they all, none of them were there, except maybe on the outskirts. They weren't up saying, oh, you know, doing anything. But they were there, and they were with him. He said, how long were you with me and you don't know who I am? And we're that way. We don't get to see it. We never got to see him. We never got to enter into him, but by the Spirit. That's our other comforter that he promised to provide. By the Spirit, we can have some knowledge and glimpse of who Christ is and who Christ was and what he did. Says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will, in the verse 11:29 where I forgot to read, it says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, eternal rest is only found in Christ Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. And like I said, all those words are the same thing. If you just put in there, the way, Christ. The truth, Christ. The life, Christ. There is no life outside of Christ. There is no truth other than Christ. And there is no way except through Christ. This gospel is all about Christ. It's a Christ-centered gospel, Christ-centered message. And when anybody tries to get stray from that, it's not the truth. But you can have eternal peace after this world is gone through Christ. This life's not going to be easy for a believer. The older you get, the more you know. You're not going to have a whole lot of peace in this life if you're a believer and you're steadfast. You'll get by and you'll be happy because you're going to come, you're going to hear the word, you're going to fellowship with brethren. That's going to be your refuge on this earth. But boy, the peace we'll have when that sin is stripped away from us and we're there no longer. And we can worship God in all truth. All truth. All things will be revealed. If we have loved ones that are passed by, are gone already, if they were one of the elect and they're there, it says you'll see them, you'll know them. You'll know them. But you're not going to love them like you did here because all your love and your honor and your glory is going to be granted toward the Father. You're going to praise and worship Him. I can't explain how everything's going to be. There's a lot more knowledgeable men than I about Revelation and how things are going to be. But I know this, with the weight of burden of sin just being off of you, I can't even imagine it. But I know what the burden, I can tell you what the burden of sin feels like. And you all can too. And to have that sin taken away. Because that's why you die. You're decaying. From the minute you're born, you're a second closer to dying. Because sin enters in. It's been there. You were born unto sin, in sin. You were conceived. And all through your life, that sin makes you die. If there was no sin, you wouldn't die. You'd live forever. When that weight is lifted off, and you don't have any more of that burden on you. And you don't have to struggle with it anymore. And all your attention can be put toward the one it needs to be to. Truly needs to be to. It's Christ. That's a nice, nice eternal peace. I thank you all for your attention tonight. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you've done.
to provide a sinful people a way, the way. You provide us the truth and the life. Lord, we ask that you will be with us as we go through this week, the rest of this week and this life on this earth, Lord. Let us be steadfast. Grace us. Give us strength to honor and glorify thy name. Lord, keep us. Don't allow us to be caught up in this world. Let us always honor and glorify thy name. Give you the honor and majesty and glory that you deserve. By thy grace, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.